Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode, 502 on September 30th, 2017. It is 7 o'clock in the morning where I am. At a weird time on a Saturday, and it's Patrick Beja with me. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how is it going good. On this very early morning?
That's very good. So for you, it's like afternoon or something, right? Like 4 or 3?
3 p.m. Yeah. So no. I just ate, and I'm probably more sound very energetic.
Yeah, you've had a horrible cold. We've all felt for you. It's been a long national nightmare for us. We've been concerned about you.
International nightmare, but yeah, it's getting better. I still am a little bit, my throat is itchy, I'm congested, but it gives me that deep voice, you know, the flu voice, with intermittent horrible coughing.
Yeah, well, so good. Those are things you want for sure in your life, so I'm glad you got them. Hey, it's us. We're bringing you a show. Sorry about the day late, everybody, but things were weird internet-wise on my end. But all seems to be well this morning, which makes me very happy. And we got a show to do. Terpster's been invited to call. He may join us. I don't know. It'd be about 3 p.m. Well, his time as well, 3 or 4, something like that.
Yeah, he is taking care of a newborn baby. So, yeah. I mean, I would expect him to set aside a little bit of time for the show, but I could understand if he didn't.
I'm impressed that he's figured out, I don't know if anyone knows this, maybe we're breaking this news here on the show, but he's learned how to lactate. So he's feeding the baby directly from his breast, from his man.
Do you know
breast.
That actually happens sometimes?
Ew, what? Lactate. What?
Yeah. Oh. Well, not enough to feed a baby, I would guess, unless it's a very tiny baby.
Yeah.
Maybe a mouse. Like maybe some.
Just try to get the...
But apparently some men end up lactating.
Yeah, and try to just get the visual out of your head of Patrick or Terpster with his shirt half down feeding a baby. Just try to get that out of your head if you can. Anyway, we're back.
I don't know. In the name of gender equality, I think we should think this is acceptable. Terpster should be allowed
to
breastfeed his baby girl.
Yeah, that's really...
That is not at all traumatizing.
Isn't that what we're all fighting for, really? At the end of the day.
That is exactly what we're fighting.
Yeah, actually. I understand completely. Okay. Well, on that note. All right, let's get into it. World of Warcraft time. All right, I raided more this week, and we banged our head against the wall a little bit. Also had some regional internet problems, which meant that Discord was kind of a mess, and some people were disconnecting and crashing and having all kinds of problems. So it reminded me of like Raid Knights and early Lich King era for me, because everything was kind of janky back then, and this felt a little janky. But, you know, we did stuff. We fought things and killed things. I don't remember his name, but the big green donkey dude at the beginning of the wing we were in. What's the name of that guy? I got in trouble for this last week because I couldn't remember any names. But anyway, the big four-legged pit lord guy who's all green and crusty. Do you know his name? You don't know his name. Oh, Gorath. Yeah, Goroth. Gorth? Something like that. Anyway, we went and fought that dude, took him down. That was great. We got all the way to the Avatar of Sargeras guy fight, him and the maiden there, and that was fun. And then things kind of fell apart, and we didn't get past all that. But anyway, it was fun. That was a good time. So back into raiding, enjoying it, doing all my dailies, all that kind of stuff. And I have a conclusion I would just like to share with the people at home. As I'm playing with other hunters in this raid, I realize I'm the only one rolling still with a primary focus on Beastmaster. And I think I figured out why I'm so resistant to just cave and do the marksman build everybody thinks is the best DPS build. And it probably is. By the numbers, Patrick, by the math, that build is, you know, beast, or rather marksman is probably the way to be and go. And I'm probably doing a disservice to my team overall by not picking the build that will maximize my DPS. However, I think hunters aren't very cool if they don't have a pet with them. And then what are you then? You're just casting arrows. Lame. What I think you ought to be doing, because you're a hunter, is you ought to have like as many pets as possible. So I'm sending in my beasts of all sorts and sizes. I got birds on you. I got a couple of monkeys fighting you on the side. I got Henry and his little ghost Henry buddy over there. And it's great. And they're always biting you, and they're getting red and big occasionally. And sometimes that proc sooner than later, and it's great. That's how hunters should be. That's what feels like a hunter to me. When I try these two other specs, this or survival, which is now a melee spec, they are boring, all right? And now that I have traps across the board again, I can actually contribute to some CC in this world. It doesn't feel right not to be a Beastmaster. So I get it. I understand you want maximum DPS. I also understand maybe even Blizzard secretly wants this, that in a raid situation, you don't necessarily want a bunch of extra animals out there in the fight, right? You're up against a big giant boss. You're trying to coordinate things. Tanks are swapping off and doing weird shit that I don't understand. And I just want to send in 15 donkeys plus 2 chickens, right? So I'm just going to keep doing it my way is what I'm saying, because that's fun for me. I think that's a more fun thing to do with my time than shoot an arrow and stand there.
Well, I'll say two things. First, I think given your attitude towards life, it doesn't surprise me that you want hunters to remain true hunters, that they have to be what they have always been, and those new youngins are just corrupting the essence of hunting. And second of all, you know, I think that's fine. Did anyone tell you that that would be a problem? Like, it's fine. You play what you want. It's not like people are chasing you down and like pointing, look at that stupid GURP. He's playing hunter like Beastmaster. He should be playing, you know, like what's the marksman. Like, he should be doing that stuff. You're not like a competitive.
No.
That has to have the absolute best DPS.
No, absolutely not. Like, min-max has never been my thing. It's not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is the fantasy of it and the fun and the rotation. How does it feel? The moment-to-moment gameplay matters to me. So, and that's always been true. But there's always that peer pressure in World of Warcraft. You've always got a little piece of it. I think so. Yeah, I do. I mean, our team's pretty relaxed. We're not, I shouldn't say that about our particular raid team because they're chill.
Yeah, that's what I mean. In your specific case, in your context, are you, your people aren't telling you, well, your DPS is a little low, maybe you should go marksman.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the case, so chat room's having a conversation about this right now, and Hooven 4 says, okay, the fantasy of the no pet Legolas type archer is important to some people. I get that.
No, I think that's fine. It's just everyone should have the fantasy that they, you know, they should play the thing that works for them.
Yeah, if it's you and a bow and that's it, or if it's you and 20 dogs and a horse, great. If it's Terpster breastfeeding a baby, whatever your fantasy is, you get to have it. It's yours. Have it, wear it.
Yes, and if it's Terpster breastfeeding a baby, please, it's yours. just have it for you.
You can keep it.
Oh, by the way, breaking news, Terpster replied on Skype. He has a comment. He says, I took hormones for 6 years specifically for this moment. Don't try to make it any. So there you go. Please be tolerant of his choices.
He's
just
listening.
Like,
yeah, he's listening.
You should always
to this.
Be tolerant of Hunter's choice to go Beastmaster.
I have a tip for podcasters out there who are, you know, trying to make their way and figure out their thing. Never assume that someone's not listening when you're talking on a show, because as it turns out, I'd never assume that Terpster would hear me even talking about him breastfeeding. but they always know.
Well,
so if you get on here and you say something mean about somebody, which is I'm not doing that now, but if you did, you know, they'll end up hearing it. You got to be careful.
I reported on Skype. He said that we shouldn't talk about 732 and the spoilers without him.
Yeah.
And you should talk about that without me, by the way. But then, so I told him and then he replied. So I don't think he's quite listening, but he finds out.
Yeah,
so,
he's probably patting the back of this child who's trying to burp after drinking from his milk. I get it.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's my point is play once again, just I guess a friendly reminder to the world. You just play what you want to play and do what you want to do. Now, if you're some hardcore, got to be world first or got to be guild first or whatever you're doing, I get it. Where you'd want to, if that's your game, if your fantasy is to be the most powerful dude in your 25-man team, then I don't blame you. You should do that too. Go ahead, but I don't want to do that. It's not interesting to me. Patrick, what have you been up to? It says here you get your mage to 110, but I have a question about that because I thought your mage was everything. I thought he was your main, and then everything else came after. No?
So that's your old age manifesting again. My mage used to be my main until, I think, Pandaria, maybe? Probably. Oh,
that's been a while then. Okay.
Yeah, it has been a while. And I switched to my druid since then because obviously, you know, druid you can fill and you don't have to wait 15 minutes for a dungeon when you go into the game. Mm. So I've been playing my druid as a main for 3 expansions now.
Yeah.
And but I've played my mage quite a bit in previous expansions as well. And this time I figured, you know, I've completed the 7-3 campaign with the druid. I've done basically all of my artifacts. My 4 artifacts are at least at Legion of Concordance of Legionfall. So I figured, hey, I want to play something else for a little bit and went and leveled my mage from 104 to 110. I had forgotten that you can get the heirlooms with up to 110 with gold.
Mm.
For some reason you needed the, you know, what's the name of that? With the time walking, the badges that you get from time walking.
Right.
And you don't necessarily need them. You can just go and buy the upgrades.
Is it lame that I'm too lazy to even find that stuff for my alts? I just sort of do them as if there's no such thing as heirlooms. I shouldn't do that, should I?
Oh, you don't?
No, not
oh,
really.
Oh, yeah. You really should. Like, it speeds things up. I mean, unless you actually enjoy the game and playing it. Like,
I mean, I do. I wouldn't mind speeding things up, but I just, I don't know. I looked, I've decided to put my alts on hold until I get flying anyway, but I which I'm getting close to, but I see that stuff or I hear about that and I go, oh yeah, that's right. Heirlooms. That's right. That's a thing you can do. And I just don't do it. Part of it's, I'm just lazy. It's like, man, I want to freaking, if there was just a dude in my order hall,
you just go to the, whatever vendor.
Yeah.
And then buy the upgrade, items and apply them to your, it ends up being a little bit costly. Yeah. I mean, for people who didn't farm, you know, missions from the garrison in Warlords, but it's super easy. You can do it, and then you know you can aim items for the classes that wear the same type of armor. Mm-hmm. So if you get some cloth, you can use them for all of your cloth wearers. It's not, you know, the super ideal for the other one, but it works fine.
Right.
And you don't need a weapon, obviously, because you have the artifact. Yeah. So, yeah, it works. It's super. I also went in and downloaded Khan's Legion, which is a mod that basically it's like GPS for leveling. It tells you, go here, take that quest, do this, and it sort of optimizes the thing, which to me, it's not like I'm wanting to speed run through the leveling of. It's just it makes the process kind of a I almost tune out and think about stuff or watch a video or so. It's this not side activity. I can do other things as I'm doing it. It makes it more enjoyable for me. So yeah, I reached 110. go to Argus yet. Might do that. We'll see. Or maybe I'm going to start leveling other characters. Maybe my Demon Hunter. I want to try and do that as well. So.
Yeah, I've got. I've got two. I've only got. Well, no, what do I have? Three? No, 2 110s is all I have right now. So I've got the Demon Hunter, the Hunter Hunter, and then the Mage is right on the edge there. Yeah, I really like to get the rest of them there. You know what? I'm asking for, Patrick. Here's what I'm asking for. This is the lazy man's request. I want to walk into my order hall. I want a guy standing there. His name is Heirloom Bill. All right. I want to walk up to Heirloom Bill. I want to click on him. He's going to say, "Hey, check it out. I'm a Tauren man with some kind of cool antlers, and I've got in my bag an entire set, a full set of heirloom gear. Would you like that?" I'd say, "Sure. How much is it?" "Oh, it's like 10,000 gold. Sweet. Here you go." And I equip it, and I'm done. That's what I want out of this, out of my heirlooms. I don't want to run around. I want to go
it's
to
not
freaking Orgrimmar.
Quite that easy.
I know it is.
One vendor. It's one vendor. You know, you buy all of the items. You select the character you want the heirlooms for. Mm-hmm. It only displays that class and that subclass. You know, those items. You buy all of them, and then you buy a bunch of upgrade things for, you know, two or three stages, whatever it is. And you're done. It's not super hard. And you have your collection too.
Yeah.
They're all in the collection.
Sure. Where is that guy right now, by the way? Where is this vendor?
Well, he's in Ironforge.
Mm.
For the Horde, he's in
I'm sure he's in Orgrimmar somewhere or something. Probably. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Right? But they'll probably make me fly to Thunder Bluff or some bull crap. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to go there. I just want to. So I'm in the middle of doing other things. I'm just did a world quest. Let me just walk into True Shot Lodge and have Heirloom Bill standing there. Excited about
this. The chat room is saying that Heirloom Bill is in the Undercity.
Damn it. He's in the Undercity?
Just go with your mage. Just teleport. You go with your mage and you buy them and then you have them for everyone because you have the collection thing.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But I won't have mail if I go with the mage. Well, I only have cloth.
No, you can buy it for everyone.
Oh, can I? I thought you could only buy for who you were. All right.
No. You can select in the vendor interface. You can select which class you want the thing to be displayed for.
Mm, okay. Yeah, mage is the way to go. That's a good point. I don't have to go through. I don't want to take a damn ship, a boat. Oh, my gosh, dude. What is this?
You know, this is an interesting remark you're making here. Remember when MMOs were supposed to be that big expense that you would travel through and that you would, you know, explore, and there was a hint of place to another.
Go ahead.
To like actually travel and go on an adventure, and like nowadays we're
No, you're fine. Stop? You're all good. Okay. You glitched for a sec, but you're fine. You're good. You're back.
Okay. Yeah. So now you're like, I need to take the blimp for 2 minutes. Fuck.
I know.
I'm gonna teleport.
I completely agree. It's just that we're to the point where there's so much content that, and there's so much to do that you want to do everything that's new and just, I don't know, going to Undercity sounds like a chore right now. It just sounds terrible.
I agree. I also completely feel that way. It's just that it's funny that when we started, you know, back then, those were so much less arcadey and so much more about exploration.
Yeah. I remember when I first went into the Undercity and in vanilla, and I thought, oh, what a cool place this is. This is rad. Now I look at it and go, ugh, it's like circles of hell. Which circle am I in? I don't like it. Anyway, whatever. So there's that. We're keeping ourselves busy in the World of Warcraft. Hey, have you messed with the Battle.net app on the phone yet? Have you tried that thing?
Not really. I mean, I installed it, I logged in, and that's about it. But the really interesting thing about that, so for those who don't know, the Battle.net app is basically a chat app, and that's all it does for now. It's like your friends tab from the Battle.net app on PC or Mac.
Mm-hmm.
They ported the chat tab or the chat window in the on the phone, and we were talking about it with Chris on Overwatchers, and it wasn't, we were like, yeah, it's okay, but I don't really see myself using it too much, and Chris was comparing it to Discord a lot, and And the thing is, I think it's MMO Champion that unearthed some data mined strings that indicate it would be they're working on group functionality, mm-hmm. which would make a lot of sense. Basically, they would become some kind of they're calling them groups instead of probably clans or something like that. If you can have your Discord-like thing or your group or clan or guild or whatever in that app, I think at that point it makes sense. Currently, the way it is now, it's here because they need to have it, but I'm not sure how much use we're going to get out of it. Because you're not going to, not very often going to log into your phone to playing Overwatch or Heroes or whatever.
Sure.
That's not going to be very useful.
Sure. However, functionality is there. Like right now, I can tell that Revan Geek is playing Heroes of the Storm. I can tell that Bagheera and Ro and Spork are all playing World of Warcraft. I can see a couple of people playing Overwatch. Like it's useful in that sense. Also, I can quickly say to Gorath, hey, you want to do games later? Because he's always in there. So there is some use for me now, but I agree with you. I think that this is like bare bones. They got out the most raw ass sort of communication thing they could, and will probably make this. I mean, I don't know if they're going for like full blown. I'll be able to do voice chat over this thing. You'll be able to manage groups and Discord basically, or even more so like some sort of social network built around Blizzard games. Maybe they're planning on all of that, but I could definitely see them adding functionality later that would make this more useful.
I think groups is kind of a mandatory one.
Yeah.
I think they have to do it.
Right.
Voice could be useful. I'm not sure how useful. One thing I'm very curious about is, are they starting to do this because they're planning to expand their presence on mobile? Because we'll see in a little bit that there is something happening there. It could be the start of a more aggressive mobile strategy for the company. Network also available through that app. It could be a part they integrate it here, and then it's part of the apps that they use in the future for other games.
Yeah, I agree. You're right. We will be talking about this in a second because a big piece of news broke, kind of a inadvertent piece of news, not really a leak, but something gained from a job listing, which is sometimes tricky. I always wonder. Well, we'll get to that in a sec. I have a question. Since you worked on the PR team in the UK or in the EU for them, I have a question regarding press releases, or not press releases, employment notices, and how you get around exposing what you're actually working on by doing one of those, because I think it's harder than people think. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. Happy 5 years to Panda Town. Pandaria launched 5 years ago, just a few days ago, I think. Or no, is it November? Whatever it is. It launched. Happy Pandaria, everybody. I still say that expansion was awesome. I loved how it looked, felt, and did. Everything in it was cool. And y'all who still hate on it because it was full of pandas are crazy. They expanded that whole thing so much and so well that I wanted to live there. I still like to go back there and hang out in Pandaria for no good reason. Pandaria is great, and you should go spend some quality time there if you haven't in a while and remind yourself how beautiful and how incredible that game was, or how the expansion was. And this leads me to my next point, which is I think that different from what happened with Cataclysm to Pandaria, I think we might be going from Legion to something Pandaria-like for this next expansion. I don't know that they'll for sure do this pattern, but I kind of like this idea that you went hardcore, 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 and then you went, okay, let's go to a place that's different and new and undiscovered and kind of throws a wrench into things and isn't about the Legion, and it's just a thing that is off the radar. It'd be nice if after all of this, like, hardcore green fell all over everything experience we're having right now, maybe we could just go to a nice new place of some sort and go, oh yeah, that's right, there's more to discover here on Azeroth. Doesn't have to be just Pandaria 2, but that kind of experience I would love and not just go like straight to the void.
Monkey Town.
Yeah, Monkey Town. Let's go to Monkey Town. All aboard for Monkey Town. Only if I have to go to Undercity first and then get on a boat, and then I'll be happy if that's what happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, what do you think about
possible.
That?
It's not looking like that. It's looking like the Void Lords, without having seen any of the leaks from the 732 that Terpster was referencing. I think we're heading towards Void Catastrophe and more like cosmic level threats. And I wouldn't mind settling down for a little bit, but it doesn't look like that's what we're going to be getting. I hope that if that's the case, the next one is a little bit more, or we go to another planet that the Legion had opened a portal to, or, you know, some version of Gul'dan or Ner'zhul had opened a portal to, and that is a little bit more quiet. I wouldn't mind, but it doesn't look like this next expansion is going to be that.
Yeah, it's just, there's always just like this, okay, here we go, rah, rah! You know, like, I get it, and I want that. I want that as to be part of it, and part of Pandaria was that. It's like Garrosh, you know, storming the beach and all the conflicts that was, but it just, I don't know, it was just like a, it was like, hey, we're going to go somewhere else for a minute, is the feeling I got. It wasn't like, we're going to do one of the tropes you're used to in Warcraft again. Instead, we're going to do something different and new, and then we're going to surprise you with it, because you're going to hear pandas and go, oh, geez. And then you're going to be surprised at how good that turns out. And, like, I kind of want that. But whatever that is, it's an intangible talking about, but whatever.
Warlords was obviously very martial, very, you know, Warpath and all of this, and Legion certainly is all threats and black and green, and I agree it could soon be time for something a little bit more quiet and reflective, maybe before we can go and confront the Void Lords. We need to go to another place to gain some kind of ancient knowledge. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I agree, so we'll see. But happy birthday, Panda Town. You did well, you did good. My mage is a panda, you know. He's a big, fat panda running around.
I think, if we talked about best and worst expansion, I think Panda Town is going to hold up better than Warlords. Warlords, I'm starting to get... You can never judge these things immediately, but Warlords, I'm starting to get a feeling that it's, you know, it was interesting systems-wise, but it wasn't the best memory I'm gonna have from my WoW adventures.
No, as far as I'm concerned, it's already eclipsed by Pandaria. Already is way better than Warlords, in my opinion.
Right. I have better memories from Pandaria than from Warlords.
Yeah, I don't have that many. I mean, well, whatever. I mean, Warlords had its moments, but
anyway, let's not redo the debate.
No. We could all dogpile on Warlords till the end of time, but whatever.
Was good in some ways.
Yeah, well, there were moments. Anyway. There was stuff. There were, I don't know, there were things. I can't think of any of them right now, but it was fine. All right. Hey, another anniversary. I just wanted to mention this. This is the anniversary of a time clear back, and I don't know how long ago, where Blizzard promised us that a peer offline mode would be coming soon to the game, and therefore probably to Battle.net in general. And it has been 5 years since the appear offline coming soon notice was posted. This was posted officially on the forums and on the website. Questions about the status of the feature is a favorite among BlizzCon QA topics. That's all in the year since, obviously. But we've got an update about appearing offline in Overwatch in 2016, another update in 2017, and strings that refer to appearing offline that were added to Hearthstone this year. But for now, still no appear offline. And still coming soon. How do you feel
about
that?
And you know the page still gets updates almost daily. Mm-hmm. Not daily, but weekly. You get people posting there saying, still waiting, still waiting.
What do you think what do you think the holdup is? Why not? This seems like an easy peasy thing to me for some reason.
I don't know. The thing I can see is that in WoW it would be a little bit difficult, because if you want to appear offline, then you are offline Blizzard-wise, but then your guild in WoW can still see you, or should it see you, or should it not see you, and then they run into you, and I don't know, maybe that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, I was at the he mentioned this, and it was kind of I'm not sure it was the first time they mentioned it. Mm. I think they mentioned it before that, and it's kind of like, yeah, they should do it. And when they didn't, we were like, but why? And okay, I'll put it like that. I'm not certain that it's only technical issues. Maybe it is, but I'm wondering if there isn't a desire to not have the appear online feature.
I hadn't thought about that. Probably, I mean, Blizzard does think hard about these things. I remember the utter nightmare that ended up being the PR behind Real ID back in the day.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a lot of, I mean, I don't think they approach anything these things very lightly. So they think about the implications of what appear offline actually means or does. But I don't think they need to shoulder that responsibility. I think they just need to do it. And then people shoulder that responsibility. If your guild's like, oh, where's Bill? He's supposed to be, there's old heirloom Bill again. Oh, where's Bill? He's supposed to be on raiding with us. Where is he? Oh, he shows offline. All right, well, let's just get started. And if he's really online and somebody bumps into him in Orgrimmar while they went back to find something they needed at the auction house, well then, all right, it's on him, not Blizzard, you know?
Yeah, like, I agree.
They should just do it. I don't think it's hard. It's probably a little database thing. And now with this app and them pushing this stuff, they got to have some, I don't know, they have to have some plans for that, I think. So make it,
yeah,
make
I mean,
it,
maybe yeah. they're working on it now, but, you know, it's kind of like the EU, US, Asia regions thing. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. And I think I would be more willing to believe that there is some kind of technical hurdle, the regions things that make it more difficult to implement a one unified giant list. And, you know, when I'm saying this, I don't mind about having to log in, having to connect to EU servers if you're in Europe for lag purposes, that's fine. But having, like, at a minimum, if you're playing in the US and Europe, which is common, two friends lists and not being able to see your friends if you're logged into the other one, and that's really, like, antiquated and kind of silly. But, you know, I don't know. I hope they're at the very least, I hope they're working on the appear offline and on somehow finding a way to make this regions thing disappear, you know, for players, because it's frustrating.
I agree. By the way, on my tombstone when I die, I want them to write the words. This is what I want. Here lies Scott Johnson, antiquated and silly. I think that works pretty well. Anyway, so that's coming. Let's see. Oh, Blizzard. Okay, this is big news and some speculation to make here. Blizzard's working on a new mobile RTS game. We know this because they didn't announce it, although I don't know, it seems likely that BlizzCon would be the place that they would do that. But they did a job posting that has led people to believe that there is a real-time strategy and MMO hybrid game in the works. Possibly this is a big one of, if not the big project that a lot of these developers have been kicked off other teams and sent to go work on. Not kicked off, that sounds negative, but where did Chilton go? Where did what's his name?
Stockton.
Where did what's his name? Who tucks his t-shirt?
Yeah. Everyone.
Who tucks his shirt into his pants? I can't think. The Heroes of the Storm guy?
Browder.
Where'd all these guys? Where did all these guys go? Yeah.
By the way, Blizzard devs. I mean, it's almost funny now, but like even Dodds does it. Like everyone does it. Don't tuck in your shirts. Take it from Frenchman.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work. Like it's funny now almost, but I don't think they think it's funny.
No, they're just wearing them unironically. Okay, here's the rules.
I'm not asking you to wear a scarf, you know? I'm not saying no. You should be that sophisticated. But tuck your shirt.
Yeah, baby steps is what we're asking for. But when these guys get up and they tuck it, we're not talking about like some nice dress shirt or something, people at home. We're not saying that. We're saying, you know, like it's not like a button down. It's a t-shirt, like some t-shirt that says, I'm with D.Va on it. And then they tuck it in so that it's just like in but then they're just wearing whatever pants or shorts they have on. It's bad. It's bad. They shouldn't be doing it. Stop doing it. I'm looking at you, Browder. Anyway, so this job posting, it's been pulled, by the way. So this came and went, and that's herein lies the question I have for you in a second. But it said this: Blizzard Entertainment is seeking an experienced Unity mobile client engineer to work on an unannounced MMO RTS project. The ideal applicant needs to have an unwavering passion for mobile development and solving engineering problems unique to the mobile app environments. And then it got yanked. A couple things here. Well, first of all, having worked at the company, do you believe that the person who did this is in trouble? Like, it feels like you shouldn't post this. This seems bad to me.
Well, so having worked in an entirely different department at the company for a few years on a different continent, I can absolutely speak with authority that I understand everything about all of this. I mean, the most important thing here is that it's being pulled.
Yeah.
Usually when that happens, it means something went wrong. Mm. And they're not commenting. It's just like, whoops, all right, no one saw that, right? Mm. So it's really like the two words that or the six letters that shouldn't have been there are MMORTS. Mm. Everything else would have been fine. It's more or less, you know, they have a bunch of jobs posting everywhere that reveal a little bit of what they're working on. There's one or a bunch for first-person action games, you know, with custom engines, probably something on PC, like maybe an FPS or something like that. So we know they're working on something in that area as well. I don't think the person who posted this is in trouble. Like, they're not going to get fired. Mm. It's like, it's obviously very dumb, but it happens. Do you see how many job postings they have? Like, go to jobs.blizzard.com. I think it's still the URL.
Yeah.
I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
And look, like, it's literally, like, it's hundreds of jobs. Maybe not hundreds, but no, I think it is, actually. It's at least a couple of hundred jobs that they have open. Maybe 300. It's enormous. So there's some poor HR person that was shuffling through like the dozen jobs they had to post at that point, and something went through. It is unfortunate that the funny thing is that some people scour the job postings like looking for the one thing that's going to reveal something and actually, you know, expose it to the world. In this case, it was Icy Veins. But
I'm surprised how many jobs they have. Well, okay, so they have these broken down by category. Mm-hmm. Easily the number one, like by 50% area they're looking for people is engineering and technology. So it always seems like it's the programmatic side, the back end side that always needs the most people. I think that's just kind of interesting. The least amount is administration. They only need 9 of those. Art and animation at 26 and so on. But there's a lot. You could go get a job there. And maybe one of them is to work on a hot new mobile project.
So that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
At MMORTS. So disclaimer, it's possible that it's something they're exploring. We talk about the incubator every other week now.
Mm-hmm.
Thing where they're trying stuff and maybe some things don't work out. So maybe that's one thing that they're exploring and that's not going to work out. They're not going to do anything with it, so we won't know until something's announced. But MMORTS, that's a weird kind of genre to be describing.
Well, I mean, I feel like I don't know, my brain's been all over the place on this, but I feel like it's maybe a chance for them to do some
plans type of thing.
Well, I really hope not. Like, I'm worried. Honestly, I'm a little bit worried about what the genre is, and I'm not worried about their ability to perfect it. But man, I am tired of attacking somebody's city with a bunch of dudes. Like, it feels like that's just played out. There's a billion Clash of Clans clones. I, that is not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is something a little more. I don't know what I want from them. I want Blizzard progression. I want you know, the feeling that I, when I got in, I came away doing, you know, having accomplished some things. and feeling like my character or characters or my armies or whatever are better for it. And I know those games offer that, but I don't know.
You're basically saying you want a good game?
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying, is I want a good video game. I mean, it's just hard to speculate on it because who knows? They're masters of RTS. We already know that. They're masters of MMOs, and we know that. What we don't know is if they're masters of mashing those genres together in a meaningful way on mobile as a platform, like with all its interface things and all that stuff. It's, you know, who knows?
I don't even know what MMORTS would mean.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone who's trying to prank on us, but like, what, you're multiple people in a shared world building bases and attacking one another somehow, or I don't know. It would be because Clash of Clans, first of all, if they did a Clash of Clans, like, I'm pretty sure Blizzard can take a genre, and even if it feels tired or whatever, they make it appealing. That's what they actually, what they're best at. So I'm not too worried, regardless of how you feel about Clash of Clans or Clash Royale or any of those. I'm not too worried that Blizzard wouldn't be able to make a good game out of that genre. But even Clash of Clans, it's not really an MMO RTS. It's kind of almost RTS, but not MMO. So I don't know how that could work. Like, you have a gigantic map and you're building your base somewhere on that map. And then other players, you have like 32 players on that map, and you go, and I don't know. It would be weird.
Well, there are some standing examples of what this could look like. I would, you know, look back at now a defunct project, but at the time seemed kind of interesting and promising. But Age of Empires Online, a few years ago, was attempting to do this. But really what that ended up being was, it was MMO in the sense that you could talk to your friends, you could co-op with your friends, you could match up with your friends and play against them, and you could also match against randos and that kind of thing. But really, it was just about progressing your army and your city, and you did that through, you know, doing these matches. Some of them single player, some whatever. It was not like there was no central hub where you kind of walked around and everybody talked to each other. But there's a million of these online that are like browser-based, like Dawn of Fantasy, Gods and Idols, Saga, Pick-A-Room, whatever the hell that is, Galaxy Online. Like, these exist, but they... Yeah, in that genre, I mean, MMORTS as a genre exists. The question is, what does Blizzard make of that? I don't know. I don't know what I don't know what that means. Like, to me, I don't get it. Like, they're all, you have to look at what their values are. They're all about online community and they're all about people being able to play with each other. So that's the MMO part of it is focused on how are we going to make that happen, and then the RTS part of it is, I guess, tapping into their expertise on things like StarCraft and Warcraft and somehow making that playable on a mobile platform. And I trust them to do this. I trust them to get it right. But I really have no idea what it looks like. So I guess the only thing I really can speculate on is, maybe, is it an existing IP from Blizzard? Is it a Warcraft offshoot? Is it a set in the StarCraft universe? Or is it a whole new thing? Could it be an Overwatch IP? Like, there's a lot of possibilities here. Do you have any thoughts on that?
What are they going to do with the first person thing?
Yeah, because that's another unknown, another job listing that supposedly says too much or whatever. But yeah, this first person.
Well, it doesn't
say
too much. There, it's a little bit less. It said experience in first person action games and custom engines and stuff. But hey, by the way, I was clicking around the job site as you were talking and totally listening to you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I know how you can do that. Yeah.
And in Versailles, they have like different little quotes from people working there. One, and there's a who I know from back then, and his quote, it like to show you how the mood is there amongst other quotes that are a little bit more serious. This one is priceless. He says, I once accidentally scheduled an interview with an external candidate on Halloween. That day, I went to the office dressed as Luigi. For them, it was probably the weirdest interview in their life. For me, it was Tuesday at Blizzard. And it's, you know, it's true. It's really true. Like, the reason we love this company is absolutely a quote. And in my experience working there, it's dorks working on serious stuff and being competent and, you know, all of that. But man, that like, it's just a bunch of dorks. And it was such a great time.
Yeah. They're like, they're just dorks like us. And yeah, you know, they're
imagine going to an interview and the guy actually welcomes you dressed as Luigi going like, hey, sorry, I forgot it was Halloween.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
And try to have a serious conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about your previous experience. Man, like, I don't know why that's Luigi, but, you know, it's a fun it's a fun visual. Anyway.
Out the your previous experience.
Hello, Mario. Yeah, it's pretty
good. Yeah, he has a slightly higher pitched voice than Mario.
And he's got a strange vacuum in the corner. You keep eyeing it, wondering what that's for.
Exactly. Yeah, good times. It's kind of like Cooley Dan's younger brother. He has a higher pitched
voice. There you go. Nailed it. Anyway, so that's going on. Hey, bad news though. Yeah. No Diablo announcements at BlizzCon. Bad news. Bummer.
Well, I mean, yes, bad news that we're Diablo at BlizzCon, but I really appreciate the fact that they're letting us know ahead of time, because I mean, it's obviously good business for them, because everyone was expecting something Diablo related, and if we didn't get it, everyone would have gone, you know, that new thing they announced, like that new whatever MMORTS on mobile they announced is cool, but we didn't get Diablo, so now at least we know and they can manage expectations.
I feel like that's exactly what's happening. They are getting out in front of it and managing those expectations, and I'll be finer with it knowing that now. I'm disappointed now, but I'll be happier there when I don't have to be on pins and needles wondering if something's going to get announced and then it never does and being disappointed. I'd much rather know now, so I'm glad.
And I will tell you, yeah, I think that to me makes my prediction that we're going to get a Diablo announcement at Gamescom next year.
Mm.
That's what
lends fuel to Patrick's fire is what we, how we like to say it here. So yeah, it's we'll just, see. You know,
Diablo is very Europe centric. Mm-hmm. And they announced the Diablo 3 at WWI in France in 2008. Mm-hmm. So it could make sense. It could work.
Was it 7? Was it 8? I don't remember.
Eight.
Was it 8?
Yeah.
When did Diablo 3?
Because I was there, and we did the Azeroth.fr podcast there with like an audience and everything. Russell Brower, who sent me an email when he arrived in Paris, and he was like, "Hey, it's Russell Brower. I listened to your show. It's really cool." And I was, whatever. Like, it wasn't his Blizzard email address. I never told you this?
No, I've never heard this.
He sent me an email from his personal email address. And I was like, dude, whatever. I didn't believe it was Brower. So he sent me an email from his Blizzard address saying, hi. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, whoops. That's funny. Yeah, that That's funny. Totally funny how that works out. Okay, yeah, you're. Let's see here. It was now.
So it was 2008. You don't trust me, Johnson?
No, I did trust you. It's 2008. For whatever reason in my head, I was thinking, oh, you know what I'm thinking of? 07 was the big StarCraft 2 thing, wasn't it? The year before? Okay, that's why. Yeah, I got it all figured out now. Yeah. Anyway.
That death threats thing in Overwatch. What's happening there? I didn't see that.
So Kaplan said in an interview or a blog post, or maybe I don't have a link here, which I should have gotten. I meant to go track it down, but everybody was talking about this a bit. It showed up on some of the gaming blogs. Kaplan just got real open and personal about, you know, what it's like to work on a game that's this popular this quickly and one that has a rabid fan base. And say what?
On the forums?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was on the forums. I really should have this.
Yeah, and he's saying for people to talk about the development process on like publicly, because you feel like you can never win because people get super angry at you for no reason. I can't remember. I didn't think he talked about death threats though. Maybe I missed something.
Here it is. I found it. Toxic Overwatch players making Jeff Kaplan sad. His exact quote is, if you're a bad person, we don't want you in Overwatch. there was, let's see, latest part of a dang it, I'm trying. I meant to find all this
video from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's not that. It's something else. Anyway, the point was there was some quote about how he and the team daily get threatened in various ways through various means are constantly being threatened. And it reminded me just I just wanted to bring it up. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. There is no Overwatch without Overwatch. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't exist. It's not a thing that you had before. And now that you have it, and you've paid your $40 for it, I don't understand how that entitles people to have expectations to the point. I mean, as I say this, I realize that I'm just saying, what's the deal with people? You know, I understand that's what I'm doing.
Basically, yeah.
So I understand that's what I'm doing. But it's just a nice reminder or a sad reminder that I don't, we shouldn't have to. What is the point? What is wrong with gamers sometimes? Like, just play your video game. If you don't like the way it's going, play another one. Go do something else. Like, the market will determine what they do. You don't have to go, oh, if I knew where you live, Kaplan, I'd come by and, you know, whatever. Like, that is just crazy to me. And again, it's people, and it's as old as time, and jackasses have always been here, and now they're just easy. They all have access to the internet. I get it. I know. But I still frustrates the living poopy out of me when I hear these kinds of stories. Because, you know, what's the point? I understand people going, oh, I really don't like the direction they've taken Mercy, which is not true. I love how Mercy is now. She's awesome now. But if somebody says that, I get that. That's an opinion. You should be sharing that opinion. The team listens to those opinions. They work on stuff based on those kinds of opinions. But that's different than saying, I want to find Jeff Kaplan and fill him full of lead, you know, like, because he changed Mercy. Like, come on, stop. Just stop. Freaking, ugh. I hate it. But again, it's like, you know, I'm like throwing spit at the wall. This doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's basically people on the internet.
Yeah.
But I'm not disagreeing.
Right. No, I mean, you and I are in accord often on these sorts of issues. But I mean, who isn't, honestly? If you're not, then you're part of the problem.
Yeah. Basically, oh, no, Scott, what are you saying? We should absolutely be going insulting on forums.
Yeah, I should be waiting on a train for one of the artists to get off of it so I could beat them up because they gave D.Va a skin I don't like. Like, that's how people think. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, the interesting thing was that in that forum post, he discussed how the team actually feels about the game, which was interesting, but also about those interactions. And that's not something we hear about very often. Right. And it was really interesting because it came after another developer said something to the same, you know, that was somewhat similar on Twitter, I believe, but it made the rounds. A couple of articles were written about it. He was saying the same thing. He was saying the problem is developers don't want to come forward with their thought process or what they're working on, or because it's just too hard and it's not worth it because you're going to take so much shit for saying stuff. Or if you say something and then you, in the development process, mind and you go to another thing, people are gonna never let go of that thing you said like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And almost like if they promised us an offline mode, like if we were to bring it up every couple of years forever, although that's different because we really should have it, but you know, and they're saying it makes developers, first of all, it's not part of their job to go and explain to you everything on the forums, because the forum poster was initially saying, do we not have enough developers on the Overwatch team because they didn't answer some of our questions on the threads for like a week? Mm-hmm. And Jeff was saying, well, it's not really our job. We do it on top of our job, but our job is to make the game, not to, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, of course, we're very welcoming of the community and we feel it's part of the whole process and everything. But overall, the problem is for many developers, being public that way and having your real name exposed makes your life and your job more difficult. And people don't necessarily want to do that. And some people will say, well, then you don't have to, but crying about it. Mm. Yeah, I see that. But also, it's not... I don't want to say it's not normal, but it's not a satisfactory situation. Like, we shouldn't be satisfied with the state of things that thing about your game on a forum and more generally, you know, things on the internet, then you should to be shouted down or yelled at or whatever. He's saying, for example, their bosses often get emails telling them to fire the developers if they said something they didn't like on the forums. And you're like... Anyway, yeah. Yeah,
it's frustrating, but also I don't know how they do it. Like, the Overwatch team specifically right now is so much pressure on them. All of this recent esports stuff, the Overwatch League stuff, these new teams being bought and created, millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line every day, new millions of dollars being added every time there's a new team. Like, there is so much expectation and pressure on that team.
You know how they do it?
How do they do it?
I know because, you know, as you mentioned a few times in this episode, I used to work at Blizzard, so I have intimate knowledge of everything, the way it works. And the way that developers cope with that immense amount of pressure is that they take $100 bills and they rub them against their face, stressed, and then they discard them and they use new ones every couple of hours.
So wait, are these freshly minted $100 bills? Like they're not like they haven't been some stripper's g-string or something. They're new.
No,
new
they
money.
Get them. They get them made special by the what's the name of that institution that in the U.S.
I don't know, Moneytown.usa. I have no idea.
Right, the central bank or whatever.
Yeah.
And they make them special official, but with Mike Morhaime's face on the bills. So it's Blizzard. There, you can still buy stuff with them, but
here's what I'm going to say. The chat room seems to agree with you. I would like to remind everybody that money is not always everything. And if you'll look back to the interview I did with Chris Metzen a year ago, you'll be reminded that that conversation, we were talking to somebody who's got no problem with the money end. Been at Blizzard long enough, done enough things that has done just fine, but that doesn't solve everything in terms of the load, right? That stress load can just be rough. So all I'm saying is, yeah, money's great, but I think you have to have a special, and I think Jeff Kaplan's this guy. You got to be a special kind of dude, and I think Kaplan's that dude. He's an even-headed, chill out guy who loves and has passion for video games. He's almost childlike in some ways, and it's awesome. And we need more like him. But I just think the pressure on that entire team must be just super intense. And yes, also,
no, I agree.
Yeah.
And also, it's not, I can tell you again from experience, it's not all of the Blizzard employees that get to their, you know, $100 bills facial treatment. most employees have perfectly adequate paychecks that are not, something to complain about for sure. But it's not like everyone is swimming in lakes of gold.
No,
some of them are. Yeah. And I'm sure, Metzen and Kaplan and those guys are probably making a pretty penny.
Yeah.
But not everybody.
Not everybody. There's some, let's put it this way. Sometimes
regular employees.
Yeah. To get a regular job at Blizzard, this is controversial, but I know that they know that they can. This sounds wrong.
Are you going to say they know that they can pay people less?
I think they know that they don't have to pay people more. Let's put it that way, because people want to get to Blizzard. They want to work for Blizzard. There's some people that would go there for free if they let them. There are probably people that would pay Blizzard to let them work there. You know, like, I know that that's a slippery place, and I don't want to make judgments. I don't work there, obviously, but it's.
No, I can tell you stuff about that. A few years ago, we had an adjustment of our paychecks when we were there because we were a little bit under the industry standards, at least in Europe. I don't know about the U.S. Mm. It was compensated by other things. Anyway, it was, but it's really hard to find good people. I'm not sure. I don't think they pay less than somewhere else. If anything, I would suspect they pay a little bit more. Because they need the good people, and that's how you make the good games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot harder to find good people than you would think.
Yeah. White Top 67 in the chat says it well. He says a competitive wage is good enough because of the prestige of working at Blizzard. I think that's probably right. It's a good competitive wage. They're not underpaying people. I'm not suggesting that. But they're not going out of their way to like, hey, we need three more community people. Let's pay them twice what EA would pay them. They don't do that.
No, no, no. Of course.
They don't need to because Blizzard will, you know, again, they don't need to. They're Blizzard. All right. Well, there's all the news fit to eat, to consume, everybody. And that means this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, it is the town crier. It's a chance for us to read your emails. It came to us at theinstance@gmail.com. Please use that address and we will read your emails right here on the show. That's theinstance@gmail.com. We got one here from Dagnum, a dwarf hunter on Draenor. Says this: hey guys, Scott mentioned wanted to fight, or sorry, a flight whistle while in Argus. Well, it exists. The Crokal Flute. Am I saying that right? Probably. It's sold by the Torin, the revered, the what? Torin the Revered, the Argassian Reach Emissary on the Vindicar. So go find that based on my description. Good luck. And requires revered status. The Crokal Flute will update your flight master's whistle to summon a Crokal Tunneler to take you to the nearest light-forged beacon while on Argus. So when we talked about this, we didn't think there was an alternative to the whistle on Argus because we thought the zones were so small, who cares? But turns out it actually does exist, and I absolutely love that it isn't just some teleporter, that it's a freaking underground worm tunnel thing, not worm, but, you know, thing that goes underground. That's awesome. And I will get one of those heads.
Yeah, and thanks to the many, many, many people who corrected our idiocy on Twitter.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We should have assumed that there was something there, and we just hadn't gotten it. But you guys let us know.
You know the worst part? I think I actually saw it when I first got to Argus and forgot about it. But the Crokal Flute did when people mentioned it. So, yeah, good job, Patrick.
Good job, guys. Final email from Dr. Christopher Gallagher, an actual doctor, a researcher at a university, says.
Yeah, I love that's how he signs his emails to the instance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
It's probably just his standard. It's probably just a standard, like, thing, but it still sounds way more prestigious than we deserve.
Strathclyde almost sounds like Stratholm. Yeah. So I think that gives him more prestige.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a fake Warcraft name. University of Strathside, is that how you'd say it?
Strathclyde.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Anyway, says, hello, I recently came back to WoW for patch 7.3, and after completing the new story content, decided to go level an alt on the same server on Bloodscalp EU. From vanilla to Draenor, I mained Alliance on Bloodscalp, but when returning for Legion, realized I knew more Horde than Alley players. Bloodscalp was combined with three or four other servers in a previous expansion due to population issues. The Horde side is full with slash who for each class showing 50 players, so the max that you can search. The entire Alliance side during peak time had 156 players. I don't want to raid, but I would like to be able to chat with the community. Do you think it's time Blizzard allowed region-wide guilds, as you can already play with anyone on any server in your region, so why can't you be in a guild with them? Cheers, Chris, a.k.a. Spiky Chris. P.S. Tell Patrick my son started playing WoW at 3 and at 5. Still loves it. Meaning he's 5 now and he still loves it. The point being, when you have a kid, they'll love the game when they're 3, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, that would be cool. 3 years old, really? You can start playing with your kid?
Sure.
Wow.
Sure, like, I don't know.
Like, the king sitting on your lap and going like, your druid is a bear, haha.
Probably.
Maybe not with that voice.
Probably. Hopefully. Probably, unless you got a brilliant genius kid or something, which is possible. I don't know the good doctor. But anyway, the point is the server thing. I too wonder why we can't just do that. We had people on our raid team the other day who are not on our server, who are on our raid team, though. And you can do that. You can pull people in, and they're just as much a part of the family as everybody else, but they can't be in your guild. And some would say, well, Scott, that breaks the whole lore and fantasy of having a realm and you being in the same realm, and that's cool. And I agree, but I think we're at the stage of WoW's progression and how many years into this thing we are that I don't see any reason why, especially with the tech is there now. Just let me guild up with people who you know, aren't necessarily on Earthen Ring or aren't necessarily on a server that has a full Horde population. Because the problem he's talking about with very few Alliance characters and tons of Horde on his server is the opposite on other servers. There's tons of Alliance and not enough Horde. So this would be a great way to balance that out. So I, you know, I'm sure there's some technical reasons I'm not thinking of that could hinder this, but it's, I'm kind of with Dr. Christopher Galacher.
Yeah, I don't think there's a technical reason at this stage. I think it's really just the intent of keeping some little measure of realm identity, because already you can have your instance of populated with people from other servers. You can hop to other servers. That's something many people do when they use the, you know, world quest add-ons to group with other people that are doing the same world quests. You see that you're going to another server because the mobs depop and stuff like that. So what is left on, I almost said, what is love?
What is what love? Is love?
Anyway.
Baby, don't hurt me. Oh, you got me going now. All right.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So what is left of what is left of your realm if your guild is also not tied to your realm? The thing that's left currently is basically the guild, well, your guilds and your auction house, yeah, right? That's it.
Yep.
So if they do the guild, realms really don't have any significance at all anymore. And maybe that would be an interesting direction to go. You know, I don't think I would mind having, well, you have your WoW character list and you log into the game and you're somewhere and realms disappear and they don't matter. Of course, if they ever did that, you can be certain, absolutely certain, that some people will be pissed, right? Yeah. Some people will be angry. And to an extent, I can understand, because when you're on one realm, you're still more likely to see people from that realm when you're, you know, dancing on the mailbox in Stormwind. And maybe some people go and hang out, some RP people go and hang out in some inn and do their RP stuff, and they go hang out with the people from their realm. And actually, there was an issue like that, and they, I think, disabled zoning from the RP realms for that reason. But if you don't have realms anymore, there is that realm. Dracona 42 in the chat room is saying no more realm first, for example. You know, these kinds of things. So I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I think we're said where realms don't really matter all that much. But I think there are a few reasons that some people might care about. And those are, well, that the realm first and the realm identity, however small it still is, are those reasons.
Yeah, but the irony is you'd hit realm first potentially with somebody from another realm who's in your raid team. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's not true of Mythic. Mythic stuff, they gate that until it's old content, so you can't actually be cross realm on those. But if you're doing like realm first normal or heroic, that could involve somebody from another realm. But you, so are you really realm first, or are you realm first plus one? Like, what are you? I don't know what that is. So it's complicated. And obviously, the one thing you're 100% right about is that there is 100% chance that someone's going to be pissed. That I know. So it doesn't matter what you do. Hooven 4 says realm identity matters less than faction identity. And he also says, which has,
doesn't mean it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, no, exactly. And to some, it matters a lot. I mean, I have a lot of nostalgia for where we are on my server because we've had a lot of experiences there. We've seen it go through lots of changes. We went from a guild of many thousands to a split guild of those same many thousands split up between 9 guilds or whatever it is. Like, we've seen a lot of things happen there. I wouldn't want to be told tomorrow that I'm being merged somewhere, or the change in the name, or, you know, all of that stuff would feel weird. So I get it. I totally get it. But I don't know. At some point, it's just a freaking blade in a server farm somewhere with air conditioning.
Well, not even. That's the thing. There are no more, you know, there used to be servers that were specifically tied to a number of blade, like one chest of blades. That was one server. Now, servers are really just a concept. All of the realms are just merged with one another. You can teleport from one realm to the other. It's just instances of zones, and they try to put people from the same quote unquote realm on the same instances. Have, you know, the properties of the guilds and the auction houses that are specific to one realm, but that's it. Realms used to be super important and very constrained, but really now it has nothing to do even with the physical, I don't think, physical infrastructure. It's just a sort of a legacy of the way it used to work.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's very weird, but I do like the, I always liked the idea that this whole world was on a blade. So now I'm a little bummed it's more distributed a little bit, because I just like that idea, but it's, you're right. It's antiquated and silly, as Patrick coined earlier. That's going to do it for emails. Thank you guys for your emails. Theinstance@gmail.com is that address once again, and you should definitely send us more of your emails. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for being here this weird time of morning, in Patrick's afternoon, I suppose. You're heading back to Helsinki. Anything else you would like to mention or point people to before we go today?
Sure. You can go listen to the Phileas Club if you wish to. It's a show about international news, and we get people from different countries, different cultures, different backgrounds, and we discuss stuff that's been happening in a civil and considerate manner. That actually works. So last episode, we talked about stuff that's been happening in the EU. We also talked about in the beginning that concept that we're always outraged at like 100% or in agreement at 100%. Like we have no middle ground for anything anymore. And be outraged about everything, including things that we think are outrageous. So, you know, there's a little bit of controversy there. Like, should we be outraged by racism? Probably.
No. Probably.
Go listen. Yeah, but how outraged should we be?
Sure, and also who's defining it? See, complicated,
so,
right?
Yeah, you can go check that out. I mean, it's just a casual conversation about serious topics, and we also had an episode before that about Venezuela and the crisis there and where it came from, and that was really, it's something that people should go listen to. It's available at frenchspin.com, and go check that out.
I look forward to the future one where somebody from America tries to justify how poor our response to Puerto Rico has been. So looking forward to that. Hey, speaking of which, give to the Red Cross or whatever organizations are best suited to help those folks down there. They need it real bad right now. That's going to do it. Theinstance.net is our website. You might be familiar with it. If you're not, it's a great place to go to get all the ways to get the show, all the links, all the stuff. It's all right there. And of course, you can find us doing what else? You can find us. I know. You can find our Twitter accounts. Instance Show for the show. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick's at Not Patrick. And we'll maybe see those next guy, the other guys next week. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. People have babies and other stuff going on. But we're happy we could be here. More shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Argosian appetites lead to transportation turmoil. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. In the centuries since the Draenei left Argos, the ravages of the Legion have forced all remaining life there to evolve quickly simply to survive. But sometimes the evolutionary path can produce some decidedly odd effects. One such detour revealed itself recently at the bases established by the crew of the Vindicar across Argos. To speed movement of people and supplies, they opted to use transporters instead of a network of flight paths. But soon after the platforms were installed, they began failing at high rates. The cause? A species of semi-sentient rodents that were somehow consuming the teleporter structures, drawing sustenance from the materials and energy contained within. In an effort to solve the problem, a specialist in small creatures was called in, the druid Myloon. After a one-to-many sit-down with a group of the creatures, she was finally able to establish communications. While we all hope that she will find a way to entice them to find something else to eat, her initial report is not encouraging. According to the perky centaur, the first phrase she was able to translate was, beacons. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.